Welcome to a special season of the Success is My Religion podcast. I am in partnership with the HBCU Experience Movement. This movement is to highlight HBCUs. They wrote a couple books, and the authors of those books are coming on my podcast to talk about themselves, what they're doing, how HBCUs affected them and helped them propel their lives to such heights and success. So we're going to highlight these authors of the books that they have out, the HBCU Experience Movement. These ladies and gentlemen graduated from those HBCUs. They're doing powerful things. And as we all know, success leaves clues, and these conversations will definitely add tremendous value to you in your success journey. I hope you enjoy. Share this podcast. Give me those 5 stars and leave a comment. Welcome to another episode of the Success is My Religion podcast. This is the HBCU Experience Movement series. That was a lot to get out of my mouth. I am here with Jessica Nathan Brown. She is a native from Birmingham, Alabama. She is currently the Assistant Director of Student Activities in the Office of Student Involvement and Leadership at the University of Alabama at Birmingham. Jessica graduated summa cum laude from Stillman College in Tuscaloosa, Alabama, with a Bachelor's of Arts in Psychology. We might have to go into that a little bit too. Where she served as Miss Stillman College 2012-2013. She received a Master's of Education in Educational Leadership from the University of South Alabama. Have you ever left Alabama?
I have not. Just to travel.
Jessica is happily married to her husband, Brandon. She is very involved in activities at the Macedonia Missionary Baptist Church, and she is a member of Delta Sigma Theta Sorority Incorporated. I was told that I had to do the incorporated at the end, or it was kind of disrespectful. So I'm glad the young lady told me about that. And student affair professional organizations. In her spare time, Jessica enjoys spending time with her family and friends, singing, reading, and watching movies. Welcome, Jessica, to the Success is My Religion podcast. How are you?
Thank you. I'm doing well. Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. And you are also co-author of the Queen's edition of the HBCU Experience book.
Mm-hmm.
Best-selling authors, right?
Yes.
Congratulations on that.
Thank you.
Yeah. So tell us a little bit about you and what you're doing currently and what got you involved in the book project.
Yeah. So a little bit about me. You know, you mentioned, you know, I work in student affairs and higher education. And so I work with college students outside of the classroom, you know, really kind of helping them develop as student leaders, get that well-rounded experience to supplement, you know, their academic experience, but also really just kind of helping them also gain that sense of pride in the institution and really, you know, that being their home away from home. So I really, you know, enjoy doing that every day and working with students. But yeah, how I got involved with the book, you know, Ashley Little is one of the co-founders of the HBCU Experience Movement, and she reached out, told me about the project. And at first I was a little hesitant because I'm, you know, with being in student affairs, it's like super, super busy. And I was just like, I don't know. I don't want to, you know, take on too much, you know, and trying to write as well. But, you know, she encouraged me and, you know, and I kind of, you know, talked with my husband about it. And I was like, okay. You know, writing and being a part of, you know, a book is something I've always wanted to do. And I've had a passion for writing I just, really don't have as much time to do it. So I said, okay, let me just set aside some time and, and do this, especially because of this project, because I am an HBCU graduate, which I'm so proud of, but also one of my biggest accomplishments that I always tell people about is my experiences being Miss Stillman College and how I love that experience. And so being able to be a part of this book with other former queens and to share our stories, I'm just really glad that I decided to put in some time to do it.
Definitely, because I mean, not a lot of people write books.
Right.
Not a lot of people are published authors. In even inside a book, like I know you probably didn't write the whole thing, but you wrote a part of it, and you are considered an author. So, congratulations on that. Like, I'm still
Thank
working
you.
on my book. It's coming. Don't worry
Yeah,
about it. It's coming, but
just keep going, keep pushing.
I know, man. It's tough, and considering like we went on lockdown, I was, and I'm a people person, but I'm an introvert too at the same time. So I like being around people, and I need that connection. And I didn't realize that until the lockdown, and because my creativity comes out when I'm speaking to people like you, like now. My creativity comes out then, and like my motors in my head get to being strategic and stuff, because that's what I do. Is like I'm a life coach, so I look at ways we can change our circumstances to positive circumstances all the time. And just not being around people at all is like crazy to me. Like it brought my creativity way down. And like one of my first episodes of this podcast, I had on my former supervisor at the university that I worked at, and we talked about how it was going to look for moving forward for this fall. And so, what does that look like for you? I know you were involved in, I mean, student activities is hands-on. So, what does that kind of look like if you can go into detail about that?
This is, a very different time, and the circumstances are not, ideal for my field of work. And so, but we're adapting. Ever since we first went to working from home and everything, we're just now starting to transition back into the office, but we're kind of doing it a couple of days a week, and the team is switching out. But right now the university is for sure like still working out a few more details as far as how the fall will look, but at our university, we are looking at going having a hybrid model where there will be some classes that are happening on campus, some that are fully online, but then there'll also be some that are in the hybrid model where students, will come to class some days, but then they'll watch it live stream other days. But as far as student activities, what that's looking like to make sure that we're, still social distancing and trying to be as safe as possible, we've really gotten some restrictions on how we can host our program. So right now, my office, we are looking at pretty much hosting majority of our programs in a virtual format. Just try to, keep with social distancing, and keep, down the large gatherings, because we definitely don't want to be a reason to COVID-19. So we are going to do a few things in person, but it'll be very, very small things. But yeah, mostly virtual.
And
And so we
so
got to
the
be
leap,
creative with that.
what'd you say?
We definitely have to be creative with that, because it's like, especially if students are, watching their classes online, will they in the evening time want to stay online even longer to participate? So we're trying to find creative ways to get them excited and still wanting to be engaged with those programs.
Definitely. That's the hardest part right there. When you don't have to, you're not required to go to some to get any student to go to something that's not required is tough. And I saw it while I was going to school. I was one of those students, like, you didn't have to ask me, like, I didn't have to be required to be at something, you know what I mean? And like, can you mentioned like leadership, and how do you what's the word? Help a student grow in leadership at the university level. Like, what does that look like?
Yeah, I mean, for sure. So, a couple different ways. So, one of my roles is advising one of our university funded student organizations. And so, the organization that I advise, they pretty much focus on spirit and tradition type events. So, homecoming, Crete week, grad week, all those kind of things. And where the leadership part of that comes in is trying, def giving them the tools and the skills that they need for them to really lead the organizations. Because of course, I can go in with my experience and plan it myself and see what happens. But it's really teaching them and helping them develop those practical leadership skills like time management, organization, conflict resolution. Because any college student, especially thinking about residence life, you get a roommate, you got all these roommate conflicts. And so it's teaching them how to manage conflict. And so we do a lot of training. So we have a pretty much a selection process that we go through for the student leaders in our office. And throughout the year, we provide different trainings, different developmental activities, whether that's during their weekly meetings or, at our conferences that we host, to really give them opportunity to fine-tune those skills and develop new ones. And so that's really, one of the things I always tell students, and it's even young people that I go to church with, is that, you can have that 4.0 in the classroom, but what else makes you stand out? When you go interview for a job, if everybody else in the room may have a 4.0 too. And so what is it that's going to make you stand out? What leadership skills do you have that's going to make you be at the top of the list and make when you leave, they're going to remember you? And so trying to instill those type skills in them that they can, advocate for themselves and do community service. One of the areas in our office is service. So just really thinking about all those things to make them well-rounded.
Definitely. What you said you love the HBCU experience and you love to talk about it. What made you that leader? Like, what experiences did you have at HBCU that helped you develop into the leader that you are?
Yeah, I mean, so many experiences. One for sure, when I got the opportunity to serve as Miss Stillman, during my senior year, that really pushed me into another part of my leadership experience, being that, you mentioned earlier that you're an introvert. I'm an introvert myself, and so I'm kind of a, I can get by myself and I'm good with that. And so having step outside of my comfort zone and getting up and speaking out, speaking in public. And I've been speaking in public, like at church and stuff, probably half my life. But even still to this day, I still get nervous before I get up. And that's a group of people that I've known forever. But being Ms. Stillman, that pushed me to another level to have to network and go in and meet all these different people. And just having to be able to have, knowing how to have small talk and different things like that. But also, being in Delta Sigma Theta, I was chapter president when I was in school, and so that was a beast in itself. With women, we're trying to have these programs, we're trying to build this sisterhood and and be leaders on campus, and so having to lead this group, that really pushed me out of
It
my.
challenged you.
Yes, definitely. And having to make really tough decisions, and being comfortable with them, because everybody's not going to like the decisions that you make. And so being okay with the decisions that you make because it's for the greater good of the organization, and being comfortable with that, knowing that everybody's not going to like your decisions, everybody's not going to like you, and being okay with that. So those were definitely experiences, and I've been in other organizations too that really helped me become a leader.
Definitely. I I wasn't in a Greek organization, but I was in a student-run organization that certifies nonprofit professionals. So we did, and it was an actual nonprofit. So we did like fundraising, community service, and like leadership development was all a part of that program because it was my major, and we got a certification out of it. But like that program, which was outside of just going to class and the sport that I played, that program helped me be the real well-round. I credit that program for majority of my success. Being a part of that program was the majority of my success. And I tell students all the time now, I'm like you're gonna have to do, like, don't just go to college and to get good grades. Like, the grades are good, but it's what you do as far as extracurricular, because you can, like, I talked to people throughout the last, 10 or so years that, they graduated with 3.5, 4.0, all that stuff, but all they did was go to school and go home and, go to a work or something. And I'm like, man, I went to school. I was I was an athlete, and my sport was in both semesters. I was involved in a double major. I was involved in that organization for all 4 years. I had requirements to get my certification. I was a resident assistant for 2 years. Like, I mean, I didn't graduate with a above a 3 point. It was 2.975. You know what I mean? But the experience that I got out of it was exactly what I paid for. You know what I mean? And I think that's a big thing when we send in students to college, and especially African American and people of color, like, go out there and experience. And I was with a diverse group of people in that organization, and it wasn't just athletes. It wasn't just academics. It was everybody. We all played different sports. We were on campus, off campus. Like, we got to mingle amongst everybody and just work with the community. We was also involved in the community. So those organizations, the Greek organizations, man, that is powerful to be a part of that.
And the connections that you make, I think a lot of students don't realize the connections that you're making through these organizations and through these sports that you're a part of, that those connections will last you. And so when it's time for letters of recommendation and different things, these people that you've networked with and done service with, they're going to remember what you did and be able to give you that great recommendation for what it is that you want to do next.
And let's talk about networking, because, like, I gotta, like, I hate that word because I'm such a people person. Like, I like genuinely getting to know people, and not getting to know people just to get ahead, right? So I mean, I'm not suggesting anybody take this philosophy, but this is the philosophy I live by. Like, if you're gonna give me the opportunity, give me the opportunity. If you're not, I'm gonna get the opportunity anyway. Like, because I put in the work to get whatever I want. You can give it to me, like, but I'm not gonna sit there and beg for it. You know what I mean? And so, like, I network, like, I know a lot of people. I mean, maybe I'm not as forward with my intentions because I don't know. Maybe I'm just saying, like, the networking thing, when somebody's going into a, just my thinking is, like, when I go into a actual networking event, my mindset isn't to really network, it's to get to know whoever I'm in front of. And you never know how what you're gonna be in. So, because I'm involved in a lot of different things, and at that moment we might not connect on a business or whatever that is, but just getting to know you and know you as a person, we might be able to connect later on a different business adventure.
Yeah, for sure. Like I'm like, with me being an introvert, I'm not like the first to like, when I go to conferences and different things for work, I'm usually not the first person to go up and strike up a conversation with people from other schools and stuff. Like I just kind of wait and let it naturally happen, and then that conversation just starts to build. And then, like you said, if we could get connected on for something else, then great. If not, that's okay too. But it's not my intention to like come in and be like, hey, I want this job. Let me talk to
Let me talk to you. Yeah.
Yeah,
And I'm
it's
like, you don't know me at all. Like
right.
I'm not even comfortable with asking you that, 'cause you don't even know me. Like, and maybe it's because I am like strict with who that I would do business with or work with, because not everybody right out there. Like, if you don't have high morals and standards, like I'm 100% professional when I'm in the workplace. Like, you're not gonna really see me. I mean, I'm an African American male, and I'm usually in places where I'm the only, so I stick out like a sore thumb. So if I'm doing something that ain't correct, or ain't high in moral standards or values, it's noticeable. And I guess that keeps me in check, but like, I don't want to associate with people that ain't on that same level. So you could be doing good business, but if you talking to every single girl out there or woman out there that and you married, like, I don't want to be associated with you, because you associate, like, that's my reputation that you start right there.
And
So
that
I
reputation follows you.
Right. And I'm like, nah, I ain't gonna be associated with too many people, you know what I mean? And that's interesting, because I mean, networking is a big thing, and people talk about network, 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 and I guess it ain't never worked for me.
Yeah, I do think it just has, for me, it has been something that has naturally been built. And I think like I feel like I've made more connections through being in specific organizations or in specific clubs and stuff, not necessarily like, oh yeah, I go to these conferences. Yeah, I make meet some people, get some business cards, and that's great. And some of them I really do end up connecting with, some I don't, but I've really built it more, from being in, my sorority, being at church, and being in things at work on committees and different things. It's naturally been built. It's something that I'm already doing, and then I make those natural connections with the people that I'm doing it with, and it's just built from there.
And so, like, talk about your portion of the book, the Queen's Edition book. What goes into that? Because I didn't read it yet. But
Yeah, I mean, so we basically are just kind of sharing our stories, and whether that's talking about our experience of becoming the queen of our institution, or the struggles that went into it. We just share a lot of it, really, to try to really impact people, and especially young Black people, that you can reach your goals, you can do whatever it is that you want to do. And so really, in my portion, I really talk about, I spend a lot of time talking about my journey to Miss Stillman. Yes, I talk about while I was Miss Stillman as well, but I felt, for me, and one of the things I say in the book is, to me, the journey is just as important as the destination.
And probably more important.
You learn so much on the journey, and I learned so many things from even talking about when I got to Stillman my freshman year, it was time to sign up for Miss Freshman, and I was excited about it, but I got scared and I didn't do it. And so that, teaching me that you got to go after whatever it is you want, whether you win or lose, or no matter who you, if you don't know the audience, you're afraid to get up in front of people, whatever the case is, to go after what you want, and not have any regrets about what it is that you're doing. And so that's a lot about, kind of, to some of what I talk about is really that journey, being just as important as that destination.
Own what you want. I talk a lot about own. or I think a lot about it. I haven't talked about it much in public, but I think about it because, like, as far as success is concerned, like, if you don't own what you want, like, you never gonna get it, right? And it sounds like you wanted something, but you didn't sign up to even put yourself in position. And I believe success is all about positioning yourself for what you want. But if we don't take that step to welcome it into our lives, then we never gonna get
I mean,
it.
that's exactly right. Like that, you know, and that was the thing. Like when I was younger, like I always wanted to go to an HBCU, and I always wanted to be an HBCU campus queen. And so when it was so crazy to me that I get here freshman year, here's my first kind of stepping stone. Let's do Miss Freshman. And then I didn't do it. And so that, but you know what, how I look at it now, it's like that was a lesson. And it taught me, you know, like I said, to after this, go after it. Like you said, position yourself, you know, own what you want. And if you want to do it, you just got to go after it. And, you know, whether you fall or fail, keep going. Use that as a stepping stone to like keep going and pushing yourself and motivating yourself to keep doing it until you get where you want to be.
And I mean, you don't lose unless you quit. You don't fail unless you quit. So why not go and do it? I have to tell myself this every single day. Every single day. And we have accomplishments that are under our belt, and I still have to constantly tell myself that, like, just do it. Like, you know, you like I'm a basketball player. Like we change plays on the fly. Like we playing offense and defense. We strategic, and we gotta be with our head on the swivel at all times. We gotta make adjustments on the fly, you know, and that's ingrained in me. And I'm able to channel that into everything that I do, but sometimes I just stall if I don't know exactly, because I you know when you practice something for a long time and you've been doing it for your whole life or for 10 years or whatever, you're okay, you're comfortable going into the new territories, new waters, and trying something different, right? And I got to tell myself, like, I'm not gonna lose. And I have a philosophy for individual achievement, which I mentioned before the podcast to you, that I'm writing a book, and it's a the my first book is gonna be this philosophy that helps people reverse engineer their goals and reverse engineer success for them. And it's just that, like, I take, and being a life coach, a self-proclaimed life coach, and I've done my program with people already. Like, that's it, just having that goal and being able to adjust and stuff on the fly. I'm like, and a part of that philosophy is, I won't lose, you won't lose, we won't lose. And we got to understand that losing is a mindset. Losing is quitting. Failure is quitting. And if you don't ever quit, you'll never fail, and you'll never lose. And it's hard to beat somebody who never quits.
That's so true. That is so true.
Know. I'm like, how can we harness that? Because a lot of us, as African Americans especially, like, we grow up through in trauma, and which we don't understand as trauma because we just have to deal with, are we born into certain situations and different things like that dictate our circumstances before we even get to make choices. So we're already conditioning ourselves, are being conditioned by our circumstances to act in a certain way. And man, it's like I said, I gotta keep tell myself every day. I have a online training course that I created because, like, I'm at the number one school, high school in Kansas, and I work with the I work in the college and career department, and I'm working with the dual credit students and concurrent credit students, so they do classes on campus that they get dual credit for. And my job is to help the students be successful. I have like 300 students in three classes, right? And there were students, I had like 20 students that were kind of on that D, F range. And I was like, I don't know what to do with them. And I know I got the reverse engineering down. Like, all it is like time in. I got to see what they're doing at home. I got to understand them and their habits and try to help change them, because I can't sit there and tutor them every single day. Like, that's not my job, and I just don't have the capabilities. But I created this system where like I talk to them, we go over their goals, what they want, do they really want a good grade, you know, all these different things. So I created this online course. I put it all together. Like I recorded it, and I ain't put it out yet. Like, I ain't even promoting it, like, because it's so new. And I'm like, why don't you just put it out? People need this. Students need, especially at this time, they're gonna be doing online learning, and they need the organization and time management skills, because they need to work on it now, because this is an opportunity for them to hone those skills. And when they get the opportunity to go to college and study something that they're going to like to study, like they have enjoyed it or want to pursue it, they'll be ready to go and be able to build on the foundation of the organization and time management. But I'm not even putting it out. And I got to tell myself every day, just go ahead and do it. Like, live with the results. You can make adjustments later, but it's not clicking in my head, and I keep on holding myself back. And it's getting time to where these students need it. We got less than a month before we go back into schools, and they need to have a system in place to help them. And
That's something. Like, I feel like there are a lot of times, like, we have these gifts and these amazing things that we come up with, but something like holds us back, or we second guess ourselves to not put it out there. And it's something, like you said, that people need, especially students, that they need, and it's in a time that they need it. But I don't know, like, something like holds us back, and it's like we have to break that wall to, like, push through and just do it.
just do it, and because that's what you did. So how did you become Miss Stillman? Like, was it a just do it thing, or did somebody nominate you?
So it was a just do it. I filled out the application. And like, after that freshman experience, because I always knew, just as a little girl, that that's something I wanted to do. Even though that freshman experience happened, I still was like, I'm gonna do this. And so I did get a chance my junior year to be a campus queen. I represented one of the residence halls. And so that was kind of, another kind of stepping stone to get involved with the Campus Queens Association, to get to know the Miss Stillman that was the year before me. But then, I filled out the application, and then I campaigned. My friends, my line sister, who was my roommate at the time, I know I got on her nerves, but helping me gather campaign materials and stuff. And so we, in addition to campaigning, we had a pageant on our campus. And so, again, it was kind of those fears for sure. Like, got to get up here in front of people. But I was like, all right, let's do this. Whether you win or lose, like, let's get up here and give it your best, give it 100%. And so, I got up there, panel of judges. So it was a percentage of the panel of judges, as well as the student vote. And so, I just campaigned real hard, talked to people, really wanted them to see, of course, I already knew most of my peers on campus, but even people that I didn't necessarily know or wasn't close to, I wanted them to really see me, and see me as this genuine person who really wanted to represent our school and give 100% as Miss Stillman. And so, and that's what I did. And somehow they liked me, and and I won. And I it was really one of the best experiences of my college career, to be able to really achieve a goal that I had for so long, even with, kind of the battles and challenges that came before I got to that point. I definitely will always cherish that year of being Miss Stillman.
And that's another success point too, is that instant gratification. You like sometimes you don't get most of the time you don't get what you want right away. And you gonna have to work for what you want for a little bit. For a little bit. And that's consistent with a lot of what we get in society right now. We got Amazon Prime, like it's and we get it in 2 days or 1 day on some things. Like you're not gonna get it. Like, and I understand you smart, young lady, young man. I understand that. Like, but you're not gonna be a doctor tomorrow.
It takes time.
It takes time, and then this is, I have like a 20-year plan, right? From now until for the next 20 years, because in 20 years this will be a totally different country as far as demographic goes, and in 20 years I'll be the old cat. And these my brothers and sisters, real brothers and sisters, white, black, Asian, Hispanic, all of them, 15 to 25, they're gonna be the leaders of the next generation, or the next that age right there. And I need to prepare you to be a leader before you even know you're going to be a leader. And that's what I'm trying to get across to them, at least get the plant the seed in them, like, because these students are, they're powerful, they are smart, they have so much innovation within them because they lived in such a different time, and then they're young, so they're almost fearless. The younger you are, you the fear more fearless you are, so they're not afraid to try different things. And I try to help them into trying everything. If you're available to do it, go do it. You don't know who you're gonna meet. You don't know what that experience is gonna do for you, what it's gonna do for somebody else. And ultimately, it's your reputation that you're building and your character that you're building. If you're able to, and then in 20 years, if you're gonna be the leaders, we're gonna need you to be the right leader. And we're gonna need you to be ready for that position. And I think that a lot of it is like w they want it now, 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 which is good, but I still need you to work on all these aspects. I need you to work on all of these aspects because one mistake can alter your whole life.
It definitely, like definitely. And I mean, yeah, like you are totally right. Like this generation coming up, like they're fearless, they're brilliant, like they are our future leaders. And so even just being having a piece of that just to instill something in them and to have a hand in that is so powerful, I think. And but it's really trying to get them to hone in on it. And like you said, be patient and know that
Yeah.
they have it all like right now, but we're setting you up for the success, but yeah, like with the technology and the different things, like sometimes my students are saying stuff and I'm not that far in age from them, but I'm kind of like, what are you saying? But I'm like, we need to think doing a ways to do stuff, but they're so innovative. And so really just trying to give them those practical leadership skills to go along with the innovation and care things like that that they already have, like they're going to be great, but they also have to persist and be resilient through all the challenges that are going to be coming at them. Just like right now with COVID-19, like they're challenging themselves, like these students weren't thinking this is the college experience or the high school experience that I will be dealing with right now, where I'm having to do my classes at home. And that, you know, especially for these college students, these freshmen that are coming in, you know, that's a pivotal moment for them. You know, if they come into campus and they don't really persist, we could lose them after the first semester. And so having them come into this model where it's not the normal, you know, being on campus every day, and it may not be for them, you know, how are they going to persist through that? It's going to be a challenge. So they're already getting that challenge before they even start college, and just trying to figure out how to navigate through that.
You know, I got a friend, well, my first roommate in college, his now wife, and we were talking a couple weeks ago, and she was like, I had a 4.0 in high school. I barely did any work. I was involved in all kind of stuff. And when I got to college, it was such a shock to me that I had to drop out because her time management skills and organization skills wasn't to that level to where she was able to transition, because everything had been so simple for her, you know. And like, every A ain't an A, you know what I mean? Right. If that makes sense, every A ain't an A. I mean, she eventually went back and got her degree and all that stuff, but that initial shock of like, this is totally different. Mm-hmm. Because I tell my students all the time, I'm like, hey, you got 8 hours in a school right now. When you get to college, you only going to be in class for 4 to 5 hours a day, if that. Mm-hmm. What are you going to do with all that extra time? Because...
And I'm always encouraging them to get involved in a student organization with that spare time, because, you know, of course, college students, you're going to party, you're going to have fun with your friends, you know, yes, do that. But what else are you doing with your time? You know, unless you have a job, what else?
Are guarantee you your future.
Yeah. What else productive are you doing?
Yeah, you got and that outside work guarantees your future. Mm-hmm. And like, I'm confident in my abilities today, even though I haven't had the opportunities that should have came with my achievements. I'm still confident in myself because I did all of those things. I stayed the course all the way through. Like, I saw something finish. Like, I completed the 4-year certification within my majors, you know, and I got that experience. I followed through. And there's something to say about, like, the momentum of achievements. Mm-hmm. Like, the more achievements that you have, the better the momentum that you can get. Because he gonna kill me for this, but I got a friend that, like, he ain't really achieved nothing since high school, in my point of view, mm-hmm. you know. But, well, I won't say that. He might have achieved some things in the past 18 years, right? Mm-hmm. But he will compare himself to me because I'm writing a book. He's a artist, a rapper, right? Mm-hmm. And I'm like, dude, put out a album. not everybody first album just blows up, so it's usually their second, third, maybe fourth, fifth album that blows up. But if you ain't got that one that gets you started to get to that fourth, fifth album that is gonna blow up, mm-hmm. we gotta start it off. And he's like, well, that's like saying that you gonna write your book. And I'm like, dude, like, That's not a comparison. In the past 18 years, you've been working on this music for I don't know how long, since we was in high school type of stuff.
Right.
And it's I'm a Renaissance man. I'll go figure something out, especially if it's gonna help somebody else out. Mm-hmm. And like, I provided my services. I'm like, we should do this, we should do that, you know. And I'm like, but I have a for the past 18 years, I have achievement after achievement after achievement. So you can see like the work I've done over the years to this point. And to say, and then I consistently do work. So like I'm working 40 hours at a high school. I work 10 hours teaching group fitness class. I have extra, I gotta practice the group fitness routines that I do. And like that's 60, 70 hours out of my week every week. And then I got to write a book on top of that. Then I got to develop a training program. Then I got to learn social media. I'm doing this all by myself with no money, no nothing. Like, but you go to one job and that's it. And you doing music for the rest of the time. Like, what? Is that a comparison?
Yeah, and I think like what when you said that, that really struck me about the comparison. I think that's where a lot of times we really kind of set ourselves up for, I don't want to say failure, but for having challenges when we try to compare our journey to somebody else's.
Yes.
And, you know, like you saying, like your friend comparing, like, well, what he's doing versus what you're doing, like, you can't compare the journeys, like, because it's two totally different things. Like I'm on my path, you and you on your path, and I'm trying to encourage you to like put your music out there, you know. And so, you know, but once we start making those comparisons, like we spend so much time doing that that we lose focus and lose sight of what we really should be focused on,
The bigger picture.
the bigger picture and the goals that we have set for ourselves instead of worrying about what somebody else is doing because everybody has their own purpose.
And their own goals. So like success is in the eye of the beholder. So tell me what you behold for yourself. Like, because if we don't have a goal for ourselves, and we you don't necessarily have to be goal oriented. It just has to be an idea, a vision of what you see. And the place where we get stopped is that part where it is success, and what I envisioned is actually going to come true. And am I ready to deal with that? Because once I put out that album, once I write the book or put out publish the online training course, like it's going to set me in a trajectory for ultimate success, exactly what I want. And that's a powerful thing that I'm dealing with right now, because I know soon as I put this stuff out, like I'm gonna get propelled to stardom. You know what I mean? Like I'm gonna be well known. And am I holding myself back? Because like that's a scary thought, that everything that I thought and worked for 18 years ago, started working for 18 years ago, is going to come into fruition, and I'm really actually going to live the life that I thought I was going to see.
Yeah, I mean, that's so true. I mean, I think for me, like with thinking about goals, I mean, right now my next immediate goal is I am starting my doctoral program next which is crazy. Next month is like next week. So but yeah, so I mean, I definitely have procrastinated the past few years, and I was just, I mean, I knew, you know, I was gonna get my doctorate degree at some point. And honestly, back when I was in school in undergrad, I always had this plan of like, I'm gonna go straight through school. Like, I wanna get it done so I can be it, have it over with, and I don't have to deal with it anymore. But after I finished my master's, I was just like, I'm tired of school. I don't wanna do homework. I don't wanna write papers. I don't wanna do any of that. And so I was like, I just need a couple years off. And I was like, okay, I'm gonna just take off like 2 years. And but 2 years turned into 5 years. And so finally I was just like, all right, Jessica, what are you waiting on? Like, let's do it. So I went ahead and applied this summer, and I'm gonna start next month, my doctoral program. And I just gotta get my mind right, you know, back into writing papers and stuff like that, but also balancing that with my full-time job, you know, having a husband wanting to start a family soon, you know. So yeah, just getting the headspace. And he's actually, my husband's finishing up finishing up his doctoral degree, so he should be done December. So it's kind of like he's transitioning out and I'm coming in, you know. Mm-hmm. So, you know, just trying to find that balance too. But that's really my next immediate goal, is to start my doctoral program in higher education, because ultimately I definitely want to stay in student affairs. That's my goal now. My long-term goal is to stay in student affairs and kind of move up the ranks to become like a dean of students or vice president of student affairs one day. And so, you know, just kind of being on that path to do that, in addition to, you know, all my extracurriculars.
Exactly. So college and no college. tell me your thoughts on that for students graduating high school, or people say that it's too expensive and or whatever they say to justify what they're going to do.
Mm-hmm. So, well, let me start by saying this. I do understand that college is not for everybody. I mean, it is a choice. Like, you have to have a passion and a grit for it, because it's hard. Like you mentioned earlier, like you're in high school, it's totally different. You're here 8 hours a day and you kind of just moving from class to class, but you get to college, you're on your own. You got to figure it out and manage, mm-hmm. manage the time, figure out, you know, if you're a morning 8 a.m. kind of class person, or you going to lab at 7 p.m. You know, you got to figure out what's good for you. And so I know mm-hmm. that's not for everybody, but if it, but for those that want to go to college, my thoughts on that is, do it, and no matter what it takes, you know. So think, you know, kind of getting out of that mindset of, you know, it's too expensive, or, you know, I can't do it. If you want to do it, there is a way. Scholarship, mm-hmm. grants, you know, work study, whatever it is that you have to do. Because I have students, which it, honestly, I think when I first started working at UAB, we were heading to take some students on a retreat before school started. And I was just sitting on the bus listening to them talk about things. And I was just hearing some of them talk about them working 2 and 3 jobs in addition to being a full-time student. And it blew my mind. Because I was just like, how are you balancing that? But they were talking like this was a normal thing. Like, I got 2 or 3 mm-hmm. jobs, you know, that I'm balancing to put myself through school. And those students since have graduated. Some of them are in master's programs now. And so it is possible if it is something that you really want to do. You just have to figure out a way, and you have to be persistent and deal with the challenges that come along with it, if it is something you want to do.
And you just got to find a way. And that's where I come in. Like, I work with one student in particular, she was working a lot and going to nursing school, got into the nursing program, and nursing program ain't no joke.
No joke.
And I was like, when are you studying? How are you studying? What do you need to, because you putting in, like, I know you got to work. So as a part of my program, my online organization and time management program, I go through like that thought process of like, how many hours am I working? When am I working? Is it even enough? Am I even going to make enough money to pay my bills and, you know, save money for school and different things like that, and have my fun? So I go through every one of them. Like, I'm like, what are you doing with your time?
Right.
Because I know you're not in school all day long. So you gotta schedule that and block off them gaps of times where you studying here. And then that goes into like self-awareness, self-discipline.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you gotta work on all of them skills. I was fortunate because I was so involved in so much, and I put myself in so many different things that I had requirements. I had to be at these places, so I had to manage it. And I had to focus on these things individually and bring my all and give 100% wherever I was. and be 100% focused there and not on the basketball court or in the classroom or in the organization. Like I had to be 100% there. So when I talk to the students, I'm like, hey, in this gap of time, you have to plan out what you're going to do and then you have to execute it.
Right.
And when I talked earlier about achievements, those are small achievements every single day that you can set up for yourself. Mm-hmm. Even as an adult, like you can block off time and say, I'm going to get this done from this hour to this hour. And you set out to get that done. And if you don't get it done, like that's okay, but you worked on it that whole time and that's what you were focused on. And once we get that focus, you can start training your mind and training your body to focus on specific things when it needs to be done. But if you don't have a plan, then you're not even in the ballpark of putting yourself in position to be successful right. in whatever you do.
Yeah. I mean, it definitely takes balance. You know, if when students are deciding to be in different organizations, also work a job, I'm thinking about like nursing school, the students that are in nursing school and they're also trying to do these things. Like, you got to have a plan. You got to have everything mapped out, whether it's a planner on your phone, a paper planner, whatever it is you need to do to make sure that you're organized and have your plan in place. But I like what you said about, you know, having those small achievements each day, you know, just to get through the day and have said, I've accomplished the things I said I was going to do today. Mm-hmm. Enough, and I'll worry about tomorrow when I get there.
Yeah, but tomorrow, if you did it right, tomorrow already planned.
Right.
So once you get done with today, it's like, hey, I'm moving on to the next thing. That's what I try to get to, and that's what I sit down even with my high school students. That's where I saw the disconnect. I was like, you don't understand about time now. Like, I know you're in school for 8 hours, but you still have to do something outside of those 8 hours,
right?
And if you want to take it to the next level and putting in that work early. And I think for me, putting in that work while I was in undergrad and graduate school prepared me for what I do currently. And I teach classes. Like I used to volunteer a lot, but like I'm able to put everything in my schedule that I want,
mm-hmm.
you know, and that requires my attention. And now it's so effortless for me. I feel like I'm cheating, like I'm not working hard.
Yeah.
I'm like, if I got some free time, like I'm up here stressing out because I should be doing something. What should I be doing? And I try to fill it up, but then it gets to a point where, am I really enjoying life or am I just working to work?
Right.
You know?
And I feel like even if you're busy, if it's doing stuff that you really enjoy and that you're really passionate about, like you said, it doesn't feel like work. And if there are those gaps, it's kind of like, okay, what am I missing here? But yeah, if you're really passionate about it, it doesn't feel like working and it doesn't stress you out as much as if you're just, you know, working just to get by, you know,
mm-hmm.
working to like say that, hey, I'm in this career, this field or whatever the case is. But when you're really passionate about it, I always think about it as, you know, I'm really passionate about something if I can do it without getting paid for it and still be happy.
Mm-hmm. And a lot of stuff that we do, are and that we're going to get paid a lot for it. Like our gifts,
mm-hmm.
our gifts, we're going to have to do that for a long time. I don't know a long time, but you're going to have to do it for free,
mm-hmm.
a lot. And you're not even going to realize that's your gift,
right?
Because it comes so effortlessly to you. But your gift is going to, Eric Thomas said, your gift is going to make room for you.
Yeah.
And... But you have to put in that work. And that's what I try to get to people all over the place. Like, let's put in that work, especially if you put in all that work and you're not getting what you want and you just surviving. Like, we came too far to just survive.
Right.
Like, we've been surviving since we've been in this country. You know what I mean? And now it's time for us to thrive. And you know, you getting your PhD, your husband getting his PhD, like, and it, I'm all about it. Like, if you got a plan to not go to school and you got a plan to go a different direction for your life, by all means, you go do it. You're gonna learn more in your plan than somebody else's plan for you. So, if you don't, if you think the debt is too much or whatever that you're going into, if you want didn't want to go to college, like, by all means, but have a plan. And even if you go to college, I need you to have a plan then too. Like, don't just go to be going.
You got to have a plan either way. Because, yeah, people that just go, don't waste the money, because
Right.
college, so don't waste it if you don't have a plan. Of course, some students are going to go to school and they're going to, be declared undecided their freshman year because they don't know what it is they want to do, but they know they want to do something. They know they want to get a college degree, and that's totally fine. But take that year to be trying out different things and figuring out what it is you want to do. But like you said, also, if college is not the avenue for you, as long as you have a plan of what it is that you're gonna do instead, by all means, because you can still find success as long as you have that plan.
And I mean, I just want people to have plans. Like, if you want something, plan to go get it. Like, there's nothing else. Like, and then once you got a plan, all you got to do is put it in the work, you know? And that's as simple as it gets. If you want it, you got to work for it. And if you want it, you got to go get it.
And I think something that's important with the plan is that sometimes the plan doesn't always go the way you set it to go, so you got to be adaptable and willing to kind of make some adjustments if your plan should deviate. And be willing to kind of navigate and go through some challenges if it doesn't go exactly, because ultimately you're still going after your end goal. It may just be a different route to get there.
That you thought it was gonna be. And usually it is. Most of the time it is. Like, it's always gonna be a different route. Like, when I started this podcast, like, I didn't realize how much it was going to help me individually, because I'm able to speak with powerful people like you and the other ladies, and I had some of my former classmates that I went to college with, and they're doing some successful things. I didn't even realize I knew all these successful people. You know what I mean? And they're living their lives. They're having fun, they're enjoying things. And I think that's one of the most amazing things that we can get to. And if we start, like, I like starting at a younger age. Once we get to be adults and our age and even older, we get stuck in our ways, and it's hard to change an adult. It takes trauma almost the time to change an adult. To view the world a different way. And I when I talk to adults, I'm like, man, like, let's change a little bit of things, like, be open to changing things. But we're either conditioned, or we're stuck in a mindset that we've created that doesn't allow us to move on to become happier, and we don't own what we want.
And the world is changing. We see that with the new generation of students that's coming in, all the technology and all the different things. So, we have to be able to adapt and change with the times. We can't always be stuck in the way that, oh, this is how it's always been done. Okay, but there might be a better way, so how can we work together to figure that out?
Definitely. And figure it out for yourself. Like, there, I mean, with everything that's going on negative, the positive is that this is still the best time to be alive to get whatever you want. Because, I mean, if it's money that you want or need or whatever, you can go get it. You know, you can go to thrift stores and buy different things, put it on eBay and sell it for $3 or $4 extra, you know, more than what you pay for it, and get money that way. You know, you do that 100 times, times three, you know what I'm saying? That's $300 in a week, you know what
Get
I'm
being innovative.
saying? Right. And that's just a piece. That's just you taking a few pictures and then going off to work. So then you got another stream of income because you go to work already. And you got that side income that's maybe funding your dreams, that gets you those studio sessions, that gets your book published. Like these are that's the route that I did. I wasn't, I mean, I was in higher education, and I don't know about you, but I didn't make a lot as a residence hall director. I was like, so it was not a high risk for me to take the risk to pivot and go another direction, because or change my mindset. I was like, because I was like, I was gonna be a lifer in higher ed. But I was like, I'm gonna have kids and they're gonna get to go to the university for free, and like that was my goal. I was like, man, I ain't making enough money to even plan a family. Whatever, like I need something different. Plus, so my ultimate goal is to fund and run a life prep program for disadvantaged student athletes. So I created a program once I had this like epiphany of like I'm not going anywhere in this field, right? I was like, what do I really want? And when I talk about own it, like I had to own what I really wanted. Like, I want to have this program. Like, I think it'll be beneficial, especially coming from a single parent household, low income, you know, no father figures, and I play sports, and I use my sport as a catalyst. And I was like, I can give that back to young boys and girls that they can use their sport as a catalyst, because only 2% go pro. So where are those other 98%? And that's what I'm trying to deal with. And I'm like, that I had to own that goal. And then it was like, I'm gonna pivot this way. I'm gonna change my mindset. I was forced, the trauma of not making enough money, not being happy, working all these hours. Like I was still happy because I was still doing what I wanted to do. I was still volunteering. I was still going to group fitness classes, teaching group fitness classes. You know, that brings me peace and stuff, and playing basketball and different things like that that helped me in my regular day to day. But it was like, if I'm ever going, and then I started looking at my ultimate goal and at what do I really need? I need a lot of money if I want to fund it myself, right? Funded myself first, like the I Promise School that LeBron James got. He funded it himself. Now he gets donations on top of that, right? So I'm using that model. And I was just like, I gotta go after it. Like I gotta be a motivational speaker. I gotta be an author. I gotta create these online courses because that's how people is making their money. I was like, I might as well do it. I'm gonna create something. I'm the person to do it too, because I got the experience too, because it's and we'll go into our last section after this, but it's a powerful thing that like I'm in a high school, and I am really a powerful person just because of my experience and who I am, being an African American male. That like the principal has power ultimately, yes, but to reach the students and to reach the parents like I can, he can't do that. Can't nobody in that whole building do what I do. And so I mean, it's kind of arrogant, but like that's it, basically what it is. Like they had me standing out on the corner and greeting the students as they come in from the buses and stuff. And you don't know how many times parents be like, who are you? What do you do? My daughter need to talk to you. And you know, and I'm just like, I'm just standing here.
But I'm
But
standing there, you know, that makes a statement there that like, hey, I'm here for your student. I'm available. What do you need? Well, how can I help? And that's honestly powerful for them to see that like there's a person and then for them to strike up that to feel comfortable to strike up that conversation with you, you know, means that you're a person that seems like you're personable to even, you know, allow that to happen, and which I think is a great thing.
Definitely. So to the last thing, we done went over time, but words of wisdom for people in their success journey, and kind of how you're feeling right now, because we're in a different time right now. Mm-hmm. You were Miss Stillman and everything. What does Miss Stillman have for words of wisdom for us?
Oof, that's a lot of pressure there.
You got it. You got it.
I mean, well, one piece of wisdom that I would definitely say is something that I mentioned earlier, which is, you know, the journey is just as important as the destination. And like you say, if not more important, the journey, like the things that you go through, whether it's good or bad, the challenges, the ups and downs, all of that is going to make you appreciate the destination, the end goal, and the achievements that you get in the end when you're reaching your goals. And so really like take advantage of that journey and really embrace it, embrace that journey, and, you know, be okay with mistakes as long as you learn from them. And don't just keep repeating the same mistakes over and over. Learn from them and, you know, grow and develop from that. And so I would definitely say, yeah, learn from your mistakes, be okay with them. And then just, you know, lastly, I would say go after what you want. And that's one of the things I really learned from my experience at Stillman. Go after what you want. You know, you don't know what will happen, and you don't want to live with regrets of like, oh, I shoulda, coulda, woulda, you know, did it this way. And so, you know, just do it. And while you're doing that, embrace all of the things that are happening along that journey, because that is really, you know, when you look back on your life, you want to be able to think about all the things that helped you get to this point, because I think that's all a part of the success, is the whole journey wrapped up, you know, with a bow on top at the end to really be able to tell your story and how you got there.
And you're going to have a story to tell that was going to help somebody else.
Right.
And that's exactly what you did on that book. Like you gave an account of yourself so that somebody else can learn from your journey and benefit from the positive and the negative of your journey.
Yes, exactly.
So I appreciate you coming on and being a part of this. Congratulations on the book.
Thank you.
Best-selling author, about to go into our PhD program.
Yes.
Congratulations to your husband. Congratulations. I know we ain't never met, but he about to graduate with his PhD in December. Man, doing big things. I appreciate you coming on the Success Is My Religion podcast. I hope you enjoyed it as well.
I did.
And I appreciate it. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I hope you enjoyed this episode of the Success Is My Religion podcast. Go ahead and hit that 5 stars and leave me a review. And be sure to follow me on all social media platforms @WorkHardMovement.